Okay, let's start off then.
Okay, now it's working, okay? Okay, so we're going to talk first about what is WAM. WAM stands for Web Application Manager. It's the LG WebOS web runtime. It's built on top of Chromium nowadays. WebOS, it's the operating system for embedded products. It's web-centric. So the idea is that web applications are first-class citizens to the same level of native applications or even more prominent in WebOS. The components is built on top of Yocto. It uses Wayland for graphics with QML for the Wayland compositing and Mallet for virtual keyboard. It has a unified media server. And for IPC between applications, it has a JSON protocol that is named Luna. So yeah, WAM is the centerpiece of the web experience in WebOS. So places where it was used, HP TouchPath a long time ago, some Palm phones, when WebOS was part of the Palm offering. Nowadays, it's the key part of the WebOS, the LG smart TVs. From 2013, that's the main OS used for those TVs. So we have hundreds of millions of users using this. Other products, we have implemented it in the WebOS and ROS integration. So we have some robot experiments, digital signage, some appliances like this fridge, and wearables like this clock. It is used from 2018 in the WebOS open source edition, so basically it's a public distribution with open source based in all these components. It is used nowadays also on AGL, on the Automated Linux. It's the web runtime for AGL. So there was a port of the EGL WebOS web runtime to the EGL that is not WebOS. How it works? So this is the architecture. The Redis areas are what is implemented by Chrome. Orange part is the, it's nowadays it's also part of Chrome, but it's the integration with Wayland. There's the blue parts that are provided by WebOS, that are the Wayland Compositor and the IPC. And WAM is the green part, so it's vulnerably built on top of Chromium that handles the running web applications in the system in an efficient way. So the thing, why we want to put WAM in OS? Basically, the idea is having high support for the web platform nowadays. Web platform moves fast, so if you want to get up to date to the latest standards, you need something that provides the web standards and moves as the web standard, as the Chromium baseline moves, get the latest web standards. It controls the application lifecycle, so basically when you run a web application, one takes care of running it, of closing it, of reducing the saving memory resources, CPU resources, GPU resources, so they are properly distributed among the system, saving CPU and battery when applications are not visible to the user. So yeah, that's one of the greatest advantages is this single web runtime. Give some performance improvements because we are sharing as much possible the resources for running web content. This, the last one, launch time optimization, it's also quite critical because running a web stack is quite a heavy thing nowadays. So being able to have things pre-launched, pre-warmed, is quite important for having a seamless web experience where application launching is very fast and application switching is also fast. About security, well, it has all the web standards about how to run remote contents and also local contents through Security Origins. Security Origins basically is the sum of scheme, the port, and the host part of the URL. We have some permissions declared in an application manifest, so we can determine which parts of the system a web application can use. And about developer tools, we have basically the same we would have on a Chrome browser. So we have the Web Inspector and developer tools, and we have the Chromium Tracer for having performance analysis in the system. I think that one of the important things is that it's been running for a long time in millions of LG TVs on all the devices. So 10 years of experience, it's proven, it's running, it's stable, and it's used for a long time. And now it's also adopted in the AGL reference platform too. So we have here some links for open source. The open source flavor of WebOS, and all the components are the same as we have in smart TVs related to WAM and WebOS OSC. So basically, you use WebOS OSC, you can try all these components in your own devices. Okay, so let's move to the retrospective part. As I said, it's been 10 years. The main caveat here is that I joined the WebOS project in October 2012. The history of WAM and WebOS starts before 2008, but I will mostly focus on what I lived and not what happened before. Anyway, it's just lessons learned. I hope some of them may be useful or insightful for you. Okay, so a bit of history. WebOS was developed by Palm, that was acquired by HP in 2010. And then on 2011, HP decides that they don't want to develop any other WebOS product anymore. So the last device is a tablet that is HP TouchPad. But in 2012, there's a start of a partnership between HP and LG for powering WebOS for the LG smart TV boards. The idea was that WebOS could be the basis for the future smart TV offered by LG. They had something that was named Netcast before, and it was hard to maintain, and it was hard to keep moving with what was required for a future smart TV OS, where you have more than one web application running at the same time, that switching, things like that, that WebOS were already providing at that time. So 2013, basically what happened was that LG acquired the business unit that that was Palm before. So basically the business unit that owns WebOS. That business unit was renamed to the LG Silicon Valley Labs at that time. And from 2014, LG WebOS based TVs introduced in Computer Entertainment Show in Las Vegas. And then the TVs were released a few months later. I think it's April 2014, the first LG smart TVs based on WebOS. Okay, more about open source. As I said, HP Palm decided to scrap all the WebOS new products. So they stopped doing new products, and they did this. They published most of the source code as open WebOS with the idea, I think, well, the feeling at the right time, at that time and nowadays is the same. And they open it to attract interest in WebOS, to attract investors. Basically, they were already considering selling the business unit. But when LG acquired the Palm business unit, they stopped maintaining open WebOS. So they came back to the non-open source developing model. That was kind of a strong problem, but it was very, very hard, the work to port WebOS for smart TVs and releasing to products. That is something that sometimes it's not very clear, but when you have something like an open source product, some upstream, some public products, but then you want to get to release quality for a product for millions of users, it's not easy. There's a lot of work to stabilize, to mature things, to even pass controls by authorities about quality. It's not very, very easy. So we all decided to focus on first having the smart TVs running WebOS, and then open sourcing again would be an afterthought after that. Usually that doesn't happen in the end. This kind of afterthoughts never happen, but in this case it happened. So in 2018, like 6 years after Open WebOS was stopped, basically, LG releases WebOS Open Source Edition. The focus was, in this case, allowing people to take this, to prototype ideas, do experiments, make things around WebOS, because basically you would have a UI, user experience, a way to integrate these web components. The idea is students, independent developers, would have a way to prototype and do things with that. So again, the idea is creating a community around it. So OSC is acting nowadays. After 5 years, it's still there, so it's not something that is going away. The hardware technology nowadays is Raspberry Pi, and nowadays is Pi 4 model. My view, it simplifies testing new ideas. It allowed to start things like integrating WAM and WebOS parts in ROS for robotics and in EGL for automotive. So it was quite a success in that regard. But there's also tons of experiments that have been happening that are quite useful for understanding, for prototyping product ideas. So if you want to integrate web UI in your experimental product, OSC can help. It's very easy to integrate web application, web contents, both third-party, even running locally. Okay, so how it happens, we have web OS, we have open source edition. There was the idea at LGSBL that it would be interesting to port parts of Chromium, the web runtime we have in web OS, to port it to AGL, so it would have a web runtime with all the advantages we talked about. So it has been a collaboration between LG and Igalia, and then presented to the Linux Foundation. So in the end, a collaboration among the three. Before 2018, Igalia was assisting porting Chrome browser adaptation to Wayland on the current browser, so it was run in AGL. But in May, in 2018, my team in LG Silicon Valley Labs did the experiment to port one to AGL. It was actually one month, but it was mostly working in 2 weeks. And then we started maintaining it from 2019 to the present. Okay, the thing is that the experiment proved it was possible. And now the focus is always moving to have to be able to run AGL with only web UI. So basically, the main UI at that time in AGL was using Qt, and the idea was that if you didn't want to run on top of Qt, you could run on top of WAM and have all the system UI and done as web applications. It also allowed to integrate with third-party applications and with the system services as provided by them, and that's part of the continuous adaptation as AGL evolves with different system protocols and system services. We need to evolve to catch up with that. So that was what happened in the last 4 years. We did one adaptation to AGL. Okay, another evolution. In 2012, we were using Qt WebKit. We moved to Qt WebKit 2 in the first 2 years, and the first web OS TVs were using Qt WebKit 2. Then we moved to use Qt Web Engine. The idea was that everybody was moving to Blink, and it was not as much more than that. The idea is that we had this feeling that Chromium and Blink were moving faster, were doing more for the web platform, so it would save costs for maintenance to move to use an engine based on Blink and Chromium. So yeah, we use Qt Web Engine. Qt already has a part that would save us time for doing that port. But from 2015, we moved to create our own binding layer and drop Qt Web Engine. So this WebOS WebView is a new component that replaces Qt Web Engine, and WAM is built now on top of that. Why? The main reason, there are a few reasons, but there was a concern about the licensing model on Qt Web Engine at the time. It was the first component, one of the first components that moved to LGPL v3. So there were the contents about the patent clauses, and for a TV vendor, that was a kind of a problem. And not only a TV vendor, we found several others that would have some concerns on that. So there was no other Qt Web Engine use at that time. So in the end, we did this. We removed that dependency, at least in the Web Engine integration side. It also allowed to simplify the continuous upgrade to track upstream Chromium at that time, because at least the media stack is in WebOS is way different. So maintaining a different web stack on top of Git Web Engine, on top of Chromium, and try to get that baseline and try to keep upstream, it started to become quite hard. We did something different, and that's more recent. One was based on Qt for a long time, but there was a concern from some stakeholders, not LG, that has some partnership with Qt that is strong, so it wasn't a problem. But for other stakeholders, the GPL dependency was kind of a problem. And the other reason for using Qt diminishes a bit because basically C++ and STL grew a lot, improved a lot, and simplified things. So it was not that important to have all the pieces that Qt was providing for free as part of the bundle. So in last year, 2 years ago, we moved to not depend on Qt anymore, and now it's based on STL and other C++ libraries for JSON parsing, and a bit of glib for the main loop. We moved from QMake to CMake. Okay, but the thing is about stability. One didn't change a lot in the last 10 years. So the main ideas that we had running 10 years ago are still there, the way we handle the way running web applications, et cetera. So it has been useful. The architecture has been flexible enough to adapt to the web engine changes we explained, dependency changes, new products, and even OS changes. So we've been able to port one to different OSs, different web engines, and it adapted very well. So first, about the future, WebOS is still here to stay. It's LG is spending lots of money on making it being the main part for the WebOS TV offering. They've been even allowing it to be used for third-party TV vendors through the WebOS hub. And there are some future discussions. We are now using GCC for building. We may move in the future to use Clang, basically because it's the toolchain that Chromium supports. So maintaining both toolchains is kind of problematic. And we want to improve the upgrade cycles. We want to be closer to upstream Chromium. So that there are many refactorings happening nowadays to improve this also. So these are the final remarks. 10 years of the project, more to come. It's in millions of products. It proved to be useful. And it allows to create products offering, don't put this in Arduino, it's not going to work, but for products with 512 MB, even 256 MB, it's possible to provide a good web experience. So that's it. And thanks, these are the sponsors of the work, so it's important to show them. Thank you.
We have a few questions, starting with the online questions.
The question online was, if I have an LG TV and they want to rebuild the firmware from sources, is that possible? I don't think you're going to know the answer to that one.
No.
No.
LG WebOS TV is proprietary OS. I say that maybe around 10% of the software is proprietary, but you cannot be the firmware. And actually, TV industry is quite bad in that regard because of DRM and of the requirements of the TV content providers like Netflix, Disney Plus, all these kind of things. They want to have strongholds on how the contents are delivered and when the contents are possible to be delivered and paid and whatever. So It's not all a thing about LG. Samsung has the same problem, and other vendors have the same problem. It's that the industry that will deliver contents to the TV are quite problematic on that regard. That's something that I would like to see it improve. Google has done a lot for at least reducing the part that is related to DRM, but that's a problem of the TV industry that we need to deal nowadays.
So, we manufacture OEM boards, and over the years, I've found we manufacture OEM boards, and over the years, I found it really difficult to know what kind of platforms. I've found it really difficult to recommend UX platforms to our clients. So, you know, nowadays we're starting to look at Flutter. That seems to be something people are talking about. I'm really sort of not a UX person. So when would you say we should be recommending this and WebOS as opposed to other alternatives? What are the sort of pros and cons, as it were?
Actually, there are like different lines. So for system UI, you can choose whatever you want. Flutter is quite efficient. Qt is quite good. Web is possible. If that's not your decision, the main thing is that, do you need web applications on top of that? Because you may want to play third-party content, like Twitter application that is web, like YouTube, things like that. If you need third-party content, you may also want to have a web runtime. So you already have the need. You may want to still use web also for the system UI. It's your choice. The tooling is a great advantage of web contents because there are tons of developers, there are tons of ways to do UI in web, and it's pretty much a common standard for that. But yeah, it's a choice.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Time's up.
Okay.